Okay, Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, Myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son. I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command. Let us pray together. Father, we are thankful today for your word that never passed away, that's always up to date, and through the Holy Spirit, you speak to our heart as we read the Word and study it on our own, as we read the Word and study it with together with your people and here today. Where we might be, your Word is always there. And Father, we pray that as we look into your Word today, that we'd open our hearts, clear our minds, and focus on what you would speak to us about and what we can do to be better servants of you and better Christians in this world, that we are a witness to others. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So are we all finished with the music, okay? Ready for me to sing? No, I don't think so. Anybody know anything about my music? I have none, okay? So today, just a little word. I'm like a blast from the past. I've known about this church for a long time. Even when I pastored First Baptist of Upper Marlboro for 15 years in the 70s and the 80s, the Lord called my wife, Frida, which is right here, to come to Southern Maryland to be the director of missions for the Potomac Baptist Association. And this was 33 years ago, and this was the mission church at one point. I knew the former mission pastors, Jeannie and David Kaiser. Is anyone here that still remembers them? See how things changed? 33 years, nobody. Well, they're still here around in Calvert County and ministering there. When I came to the association in 92, representing, you know, our association has the three counties. There's now 36 churches. And right now, Fred Cottle is the director of missions for the association. And some of you probably know Kay, his wife, who is the administrative assistant, who helps you in many ways. So when I came to the association, I got to meet Randy. He was already here for a couple of years, and see the church build the buildings that you have, and see how God blessed his ministry, and I'm sure has blessed each one of your lives. So I retired in end of 2012, but still live in La Plata and have my family all around in this area. So today, we're going to, as I read the scripture a few moments ago, we're going to be looking at, the title of the message is The Power to Bless. And I pray for each one of us, including me, that we realize, you don't remember anything else I say today, you have the power to bless. The power to bless others. And we're going to look through this scripture and other scriptures to see how we have the power to bless. You know, I just read from Genesis, and from the very beginning, God blessed the world and others through men and women. And the book of Genesis is emphasized that the power of blessing began with the Father, and the Father would bless the sons. And receiving a blessing from the Father was one of the highest honors you could have. Not getting that blessing, you can imagine what it was, a curse. So the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all blessed their children. And we even have instances where Jacob blessed his grandchildren. They all had formal blessings for their lives. I want us to look at Numbers. Now, first, I forgot to say, we did have an outline for you. So I know some of you may are note takers, some of you are listeners. And so if you're a note taker, there is an outline there, you can refer to that. If you didn't get an outline, are there any left? Anybody want an insert outline? Here, one over here. I see that hand right here. See over there? Okay. Just keep your hand raised, because there's also a gift for you when you leave today on the other side. And I'll share with you what that's all about when you leave. So it might be, if you didn't get one, by handing out now, you can get one maybe at the end of the service. I want us to, you'll see on the outline, we're going to turn over to Numbers chapter 6. And we're going to be reading verses 22 through 27. So if you've been a Christian a long time and been in church a long time or been in different ceremonies, this is a blessing that is repeated over and over again. But somehow we've forgotten that it's not just a formal blessing, but it's something that's very personal for Israel and very personal for us today. So reading Numbers chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. It's called the High Priestly Blessing. You'll remember it as we read. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon favor on you and give you peace. In this way, they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." This came a little bit more personal with me a few years ago. In 1917, I lost my brother closest to my age, a little older than me, and then 6 months later, lost my other brother. And when I went, my sister and I are the only ones left in our immediate family. My parents have passed also. So I went down to visit my sister in my hometown where I'm from, Jacksonville, Florida. And when I was there, she said to me something that really surprised me. Now, if you can't, can you hear me all right when I walk around? I tend to walk around, not up and down the aisles, but I do walk around a little bit. Okay. So she said to me, "You know, you are the oldest one left in the family. Parents are gone. My two other brothers are gone. And you're the head of our family now. I need for you, would you please pray for my children, pray the blessing of God onto their lives, just like God told Moses to tell Aaron to pray that blessing on them. I want you to pray." And I never thought about that. I never thought about me praying a blessing as the elder in the family at that time on their lives. And so this is where this message really comes from that experience. Back in our Genesis, we go back to Genesis chapter 22. God's blessing is personal. You heard me emphasize in that high priestly benediction that you've heard many times, I'm sure, the word "you." You. That was a blessing to the Israelite people. It's a blessing to us. And through all of this, I've realized that somehow we in the church have forgotten about the power we have to bless others. Just as God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to Aaron, and spoke to the children of Israel, they had God's blessing. And Aaron blessed them, and they blessed their children, and then grandchildren. And it says at the end of that Numbers benediction, they bore his name. We that are blessed of God, we that are his children, we bear his name. So in our scripture, this was right after, as you remember, this blessing in here in Genesis, where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac. And as God does, the substitute was there. The ram was the sacrifice. But testing Abraham's faith, did he truly believe and would follow God and become the great beginning of the Israelite race? And that through Abraham, all the world would be blessed. It was a big thing, wasn't it? So God had to be sure. And of course, that reminds us of who is the substitute for us, for our sin, that we might receive death, eternal death and punishment. Jesus, the Lamb of God, that has taken our place. So notice in verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time. This was after he made the substitute with the lamb, and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you. There we are again. You, me, you. God's blessings are first for us individually. We so often think about when we read the Old Testament, God's blessing for the world. Israelites, and then the world. But it begins with God's blessing for his people. How has he blessed us? Can you think of how he has blessed us through John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So God has blessed us with salvation. God has blessed us as his special people. We are a royal priesthood. If you turn over or listen as I read from Peter, First Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Coming to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen and valuable to God, you yourselves, here we are again, as living stones, we are the living stones in God's kingdom and his spiritual house, are being built into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. We are priests. We no longer have to go through an earthly priest, but through Jesus, we are a priest. We can offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. That's a whole nother sermon. But a spiritual sacrifice can be just the music, the beautiful music that was led by our praise team. That's a spiritual sacrifice. We don't sing it because of a beautiful melody, but we sing it because we're offering up that sacrifice of praise to God. It's an offering to him. And we can do that because we are priests through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, lo, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen, valuable cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. James 5:16, another way we bless, are blessed and can bless, is the prayers of a righteous man, the fervent prayers of a righteous man. Do you remember this Scripture? I don't know, maybe it's your King James or NIV, availeth much. That's why we pray for others. That's why you have, I saw in your bulletin where you have, you can call in your prayer request. So important that we have that ministry. We can bless others through prayer. We may not be able to get up and preach a sermon or teach a Sunday school class or be a deacon, but when we physically, some listening to me on the media, you may not be able to get out because of physical problems. But yet, you can bless others through your prayers. The scripture says, the prayers of a righteous man, the fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, availeth much. So that's another way we are blessed, individually. Then we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 tells us when the Spirit, Holy Spirit came upon them, they became witnesses in their own hometown of Jerusalem, and then their state of Judea, and then Samaria, and then all around the world. So we have the Holy Spirit. He guides us as we have the Scriptures, that through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Hebrews 11:6 says, God hears the prayer of those who diligently seek Him. So God's blessing, how we bless others, begins with us. God blesses us, and then we have the opportunity to bless others. And the first people we have to bless is our family. Whether you're married or not, you have a family. Maybe it's your church family here. Maybe it's friends. But you have, all of us have a family unit of some sort. The first thing that God created and instituted was the family. It wasn't the church. That came later, praise the Lord. But the family is still very important to God. It's like a mini church. It's where God, through the Holy Spirit, blesses others through the family, through your children, through grandchildren, or others you may adopt, or they may be cousins or nephews, or whoever is part of your family unit. God, because you are a priest, God can bless others through you because Jesus, the high priest, is in our life. So, prayer, Bible study, and through the community of the church, you may have a physical family, but you also have a spiritual family, don't you? What a wonderful church you have here. I've been blessed since I'm old enough to have been around a long time that I've seen you build most all your buildings and seen your been friends with your pastor for all these years. In fact, Randy is the second one in length of service in our association, Potomac Baptist Association, of 36 churches. The only one more is Tim Bean. I mean, you know Tim Bean down at Marbury Baptist. He's been 40 years. But Randy's been here 36 years. And he has, you could just testify of how he has blessed your life. So, our family, your church means so much to you. Hasn't your church blessed your lives? I think of growing up in the Arlington Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, as a young person, and where I found Christ and later was ordained to the ministry. But all the years, even till today, that church has blessed my life. We can bless others, or we can be a curse to others. We have a choice, don't we? When I pastored First Baptist Upper Marlboro, we were very active in witnessing. We were one of the first churches to start a program called Continuous Witnessing. It was CWT then. Some of you later may have heard Evangelism Explosion years ago, but it was an effort to train people, lay people, to go out and share the gospel. And we would go out. And we had a bus ministry that time, and we would go and visit the parents when a child would make a decision in our children's worship for Christ. We would go and, if the parents didn't go to church, they were just, the children just were on the bus, we would go visit them and share this decision. And it was a two-edged sword because we thought if we also shared, we wanted the parents to agree to this, we wouldn't baptize a child without the parents agreeing to it. But also, if the parents weren't believers or were backslidden, they would hear the gospel. and be a chance to witness to them also. So we went to this family, and I was on that particular team, and I had people that we were training that went with me, and we began to explain that he came forward in children's worship and accepted Christ, and the mother stopped me in the tracks and said, "He can't be a Christian. He didn't clean his room today." And she went on to tell all the terrible things that children do. She had no understanding. If she was a believer and chose to be a blessing to her child, she wouldn't be saying that. But she became a curse to her child. I could just see the child's face even today drop. But we have an opportunity to be a blessing to our family, a blessing to each other, to pray for one another, encourage one another. That's why the scripture says, do not be absent from worshiping together, how much the church family means and how much you support one another. But let me say a word about your pastor. You may think someone that's been here 36 years doesn't need any encouragement. You know, he just ministers misery. He doesn't. Yes, he does. I can remember as I pastored. And it's hard. I was there not 36 years. I was there 15 years as pastor of Upper Marlboro Church. But times you get discouraged. Times you want to get up. And sometimes give up. Sometimes people can be mean to you. And sometimes you don't deserve that meanness. But people would bless me by, even when I got low about something, I got a note. They didn't know that I was discouraged. I didn't show it, didn't talk about it, but they would send me a note. Or if I was out of town, they would come mow my lawn. They had ways of encouraging me. They had ways of blessing their pastor. Do you see what I'm saying? You can bless your pastor just like Aaron told the Israelites that they could bless their children and grandchildren. You can bless the family of God, each one another, and you can bless your own pastor. And he will be, even though he's a wonderful pastor, let me tell you, I'll be out of time. I brought my little watch here. Be out of town, could tell you how much I think of your pastor and his biblical preaching and his love for the Lord and his consistency. You need to encourage him in any way you can as you encourage one another. The family of God. Then the third is, let's go back to, probably skipped over this, but let's go back to Genesis, the very beginning again. When in verse 22 and on, verse 15 and on, when I said that I will indeed bless you, that's The power to bless through you, the power to bless your family was second in the scripture here, and make your offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sun on the seashore and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies. So it's that blessing, power of blessing goes on from generation to generation right to us today. Then, thirdly, we have the power to bless others. We have the power to bless our country, our county, our city. We have the power to bless the world. And verse 18, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my commands. And when you have obeyed my commands, just like in the high priestly prayer, you bear His name. You've obeyed my commands. You bear His name. And you are a blessing to others. That's why we have missions. That's why when I was the director of missions, I considered myself a missionary. A missionary to Southern Maryland. The Lord at one time was speaking to me about foreign missions. But He spoke to me and my wife about being missionaries right here in Southern Maryland. But all of us are a mission field. Our mission. And the mission field, where is it? When you drive out of this driveway, and some churches have that sign there saying, Whitehall does, and our association has that sign saying, you're now entering the mission field, right? We are all missionaries. So our modern mission movement began before, when our churches were sort of hyper-Calvin. They believed that God was going to save the people anyway. We don't need to go. But praise the Lord to many of those early missionaries, not just Baptists, but others that started the modern mission movement. People like Lottie Moon that you celebrate at Easter time, went to China, and Annie Armstrong in Baltimore, and others started that movement. That motivation was, we didn't just go there to do good works. We didn't just go over there to have a job, but we wanted God to bless the world through Jesus Christ and through us lead them to Him, the source of all blessings. Think of the scripture about the 90 and 9, the parables of Jesus, how He tells us to leave the 90 and 9. They're taken care of. Your focus should be on the lost out there. That's why we send missionaries. Go after the one that's lost out there. Go after that prodigal son that is out there. Go after that lost coin because we bear His name. A while back, December 2018, we made a trip. I did go down and see my sister in Jacksonville, but then went over to a little town called Plains, Georgia. Does anybody know about Plains, Georgia? Well, growing up as a Southern Baptist, we didn't have a lot of heroes nationally, but we had one. And as a young person in college, he inspired me so much because that was the first time we had a politician talk about being born again, because he was born again. And so we had the opportunity, we witnessed to people to say, because they didn't know, what do you mean born again? I had a lot of people during that. Now everybody knows what it is, and somehow they twist it, and it's not as useful anymore. But then it was new because here the president talked about being born again, so we could witness to people. So I followed his career a lot and prayed for him. And when I moved to D.C. after seminary in Texas, Frida and I lived on Capitol Hill. Frida worked at Library of Congress, and I was associated at the Capitol Hill Metropolitan Church downtown, 4th and A, not far from the Capitol. And so we walked down to his inauguration, and we were there for that. So it was interesting that Jimmy had a mother named Lillian. Lillian was a mess, wasn't she? If you know about Lillian, she was just all over the place, very outspoken. But a lot of us don't know about this. It's in one of his books that she was a nurse. And when she retired, living in Georgia, she said, I want to go somewhere and use my talent as a nurse for people that need help and need the Lord. And I would want to go to people of color, because here in Georgia, you know, we're all split up by color. So she went to Mumbai in the Godfrey colony in Mumbai, and she was a nurse there with the Peace Corps in 1966. And she worked with this particular colony in this enclave. And she, as a nurse, used her talents and duties. But there was a gardener there that would bring her flowers and special food. And so he was special to her. So she wanted to be a help to him. So she taught his daughter English. Because in that culture, if you were a girl, you didn't get an education, and you didn't have much of a life in that particular system. So she taught her English. Well, as the years passed, of course, Lillian has a hospital. Emory established a Lillian Carter Service for International Nursing in honor of all the great things she did. But when President Carter visited India, he went to this compound and spoke. And he said, as he went to speak to the lady that was in charge of the compound, there's a young lady here that my mother taught English to. Do you know anything about where she is, what's happened to her? And she looked at President Carter. Yes, she's sitting right there. She's president of the university. We have the power to bless. What's the difference, though, between the power to bless between a Christian and a non-Christian? A lot of non-Christian people do bless others. You have people in your life that aren't believers that can bless others. What is the difference? The difference is God blesses others through us. It is God's Holy Spirit that can touch other lives through us. The works that we do not bring back, as our song leader said, do not bring back attention to us, but bring back attention to the Lord who saved us. I think of another, and I'm not great on politicians here today, but I will talk about another man. His name is George Bush, Walker Bush. And he wrote a private letter to his grandchildren every month or so. 14 grandchildren that he had. He had the power to bless them. Then there's one instance where you also remember his points of light, that he would honor people that were doing good in the world for others as points of light, and that was a big thing that he did in his presidency. There was one occasion, though, when he was at an official function, and they had the marching soldiers. Some of them, you know, are trained down in D.C. Some of you may know of that. And they are trained where to be very professional, not make a mistake, be very careful with their guns, all of that. Well, on one official occasion, a soldier dropped the gun. Now, that is the worst thing a soldier can do in the presence of a president, to drop a gun. He was totally embarrassed. I'm sure he got recriminations and all. George Bush wrote a letter to him and told him, that could have happened to anyone. Don't worry about it. He used his power of presidency to bless him. There's a song that we grew up singing. I don't know that some of you, how long have you, some of you have been Baptist a long time, more than 20 years, raise your hand. Okay. You new Christians, maybe not know, but make me a channel of blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. And the song goes on to talk about how we are a channel. We used to sing that all the time when growing up, but I never thought about the power in that song. That God has chosen us to be a channel of blessing to the world. And two scriptures as I close here that mean a lot to me. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God says he has plans for us. Not to harm us. One translation says not to be a disaster. His plans are not a disaster for us, but a plan to help us, to give us a future and a hope. And that's the power of blessing that we have. And also in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40, you know what Hebrews 11 is, don't you? That's the chapter of all the great believers, Old Testament and New, who sacrificed for the Lord. Some of them were torn apart by lions, and you know, all the what they suffered for the Lord. But when we get down to verse 39 It talks about us. Turn over to, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 39. Now this is right after all these believers that we held up as the martyrs of the faith. What about us? All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. It's hard to believe. God has blessed us even more than the saints of Old Testament times. God has blessed us, the body of believers, that we can bless, yes, others in our family, others in the world. God has chosen us because Jesus Christ is in our life. The Holy Spirit has come in permanently, and we have the power to be a priest, to give a priestly blessing to others by our ministry. God will take the common thing, whether you're working in the nursery, God can use that to bless those children that one day will come back and bless you for your ministry. God can use all of us, whether we're able or disabled. We have the power to bless, and God has provided something better for us through Jesus Christ. I have something for each of us. I said we had a gift. And if you turn to the back of your outline, you're going to see some Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. I'm sure Pastor Randy or somebody here has told you before that it's good for you to pray scripture, right? Pray for use the Lord's Prayer. You know, we do that. That's one scripture we pray, right? That Jesus gave us. There are a lot of prayers in the scripture that we can pray. And it will do a lot for your devotional life and your closeness to the Lord. But also, there, as we read today in Numbers, there are others. Scripture passages that you can use to pray and blessing others. You may say, well, I don't know what to pray. What's here? Many. There's all here. You can take this home, and maybe it's pray to bless your spouse. They may really need it, you know. Pray to bless your spouse. Pray to God to bless them, and God will honor your prayer for your children, for your grandchildren, for your church members, for your pastor, for your neighbors, for all that you know, for the missionaries in the world, for those the missionaries are trying to reach, for the lost, for the person that's most hateful person in the world. You can bless them using the power of blessing. So just look at a few of these just quickly. You saw the numbers. Ephesians, I pray that out of his, Ephesians 3:16 at the bottom, I pray that out of his glorious richness, he may strengthen Randy. I'm just going to put your pastor's name there. Randy, with power through his spirit in Randy's inner being. Okay? 1 Thessalonians, for God himself, the God of peace, sanctify Randy through and through. May your whole spirit, Randy's whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Grace and peace to Randy from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just substitute someone's name in there. We have the power to bless. Let us pray together. While we're bowed in the spirit of prayer, if you've never had the blessing of receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's simple, but it's profound. We just repent of our sins, saying that we know that we're a sinner. We're sorry for our sins. We want to be forgiven, and we want Jesus to come in our heart and change us and be a new creature in him. So I'm just going to pray a simple prayer in a moment. And if you've not received Jesus and God speaking to your heart, that you want the blessing of God on your life so that you may be able, through God's love and spirit in you and through Jesus, bless others. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, while every head bowed, nobody looking, would you just raise your hand and I'll lead you in that prayer. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that hell that we don't deserve it. And the many times we fail you, and times we backslide, but you never forsake us or leave us, the scripture says. And sometimes we become like the world, so selfish, so inward, just thinking about ourselves and not caring about maybe the person right under our feet that needs you and needs you to bless their life. Lord, may we remember that we are your missionaries. We are the Jesus that someone never has known. We're the Jesus here on earth that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus through us to others. And Lord, may we remember and be encouraged and strengthened the fact that we have the power to bless others. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.